This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Here's another uprising where perception matters as much as reality. We're hearing elsewhere in the program about Libya's efforts to manage the news. Syria has sought to tamp down the news, banning most international reporters from the country. The government has been exporting its own version of events by way of state television, but fewer people are buying that story. In neighboring Lebanon, even news outlets that support Syria say the regime of President Bashar al-Assad is losing the media war. NPR's Deborah Amos reports from Beirut.
Every morning, Lebanese line up to buy a selection of local newspapers.
Can I get Asafir,
Tafir,
and Al-Akbar?
Al-Akbar.
Al-Akbar has gained a reputation as one of the boldest in its 5 years on the newsstand. The first Lebanese newspaper to publish exclusive WikiLeaks cables, investigate the abuse of domestic workers, and highlight prison conditions.
My name is Omar Nashabi. I am in the editorial board of Al-Akhbar newspaper.
Nashabi says Al-Akbar wants to be known for raising the standards of journalism in the region. The paper is also known for anti-American editorials and ties to Lebanon's powerful Shiite group.
We are known in the media, especially in Western media, to be close to Hezbollah.
And close to Hezbollah's ally Syria, says Nashabi, which has put the paper's journalists under considerable strain.
It is a very delicate matter. We are a small country next to a larger country. This is basic geopolitics 101.
Do you think that the Lebanese worry that it will spill over here?
I think so. I think they worry, and it's an understatement.
Al-Akbar has been caught up in a media war over Syrian coverage. One contributor was beaten up and detained by plainclothes police in Damascus. Al-Akbar's journalists now report the story by phone. But events in the northern town of Jisr al-Sukur strain the newspaper's balance of credible journalism and politics further. When the Syrian army cracked down on towns in the north, thousands of Syrian refugees escaped to Turkey and gave eyewitness accounts of a military mutiny and brutal military repression. The Syrian government insists armed gangs are to blame, and residents called the army to save them. What happened in Jisr al-Sukur? Nashabi said he had no journalists on the ground to check the government's account.
You don't know if they're lying. That's worse. So you think they're saying something that is not true or partly true or they're interpreting it in a way.
Syrian television broadcast the so-called confession of a man said to be part of the gang that killed 120 security personnel in Jisr al-Sukur. He says he got arms from Turkey and money from a shadowy resistance group. We attacked these people and cut them up, he told his military interrogator. But even Nashabi strains to believe the Syrian account.
Is it true, this guy who comes up and talks about this mass grave? I don't know. Who killed these people? Is there an investigation?
Hilal Kashan also monitors Syrian TV. A political science professor, he says Syria's propaganda has become more blatant as the crisis grinds on.
They lie. People know they are lying, but they don't seem to care. One of the soldiers digging the mass grave was wearing a mask. It is not in the habit of the Syrian army to put on masks when they dig graves. They went prepared to the site, you know. They knew what they were after.
It's a media campaign, says Kashan, whose audience is the regime's staunchest supporters, the business community, Syrian minorities, who fear chaos could follow a successful challenge to the government.
They are waging a physical survival battle. And when it comes to the survival of the regime, it doesn't matter how they conduct their media battle.
But even Syria's closest allies in Lebanon are raising questions about a strategy that seems to fuel the protests with each passing week. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Beirut.